Good afternoon. Today is Monday. Yes, it has been June the 11th, 163rd day of the new year. Joining us this afternoon, Humboldt County Superintendent of Schools, Mr. Eagles. Howdy.
Hey, welcome, Brian. It's great to be here on this last week of school.
Do you guys get
Even though it is
line?
A Monday.
Do you get a finish line?
Do I get
or
a finish line?
Do you start
line?
Up next week?
No. We're already looking at next year. Yes.
That's kind of what I was afraid of.
The kids are. They're looking for this week.
Yeah, I would imagine suffer today. Well, today's probably a goof day, isn't it? And then you got finals. Boom, boom, boom.
Right. Yeah. And then if all goes well, they walk across and get their diploma
so
Thursday,
it's
Friday
term
night.
Term paper Monday.
Yeah, it's one of those wrap-ups.
Yeah. So we'll talk a little bit about the year that was, the year that might be, and what's going on during summertime. Is that a Mickey Mouse?
It is. It's a Mickey Mouse tie.
Oh, very cool.
Perfect for a Monday, actually.
Yeah, yeah. And for this show. We'll find out how appropriate when we come back.
I'm Jim Mongi, principal of St. Mary's Catholic School and Preschool. Our preschool program is designed to teach and model basic educational and social skills that children will need for success in kindergarten. Students learn about numbers, shapes, and colors. They begin pre-reading and writing. They develop problem-solving and sharing skills. They learn that school is fun. St. Mary's Preschool provides the foundation for a lifetime of learning. Give us a call today at 822-3877, license number 125-401-910.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Time, 313. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Gary Eagles, but before we do, a brand new book, for quotes, from
Mr.
Eagles.
A little change of pace.
Yeah, so we got one from Arkley, one from me, and now one from you. And one from somebody who just was trying to get rid of a book. That bottom one doesn't get looked at too often. Our quote this afternoon comes from Arnold Palmer, the lemonade guy.
Yeah.
No, okay.
Right.
And golfer. I've always made a total effort, even when the odds seemed entirely against me. I never quit trying. I never felt that I didn't have a chance to win.
It's all about attitude. You know what? Brian, I got to thinking about that this year, and particularly this week, because this is graduation, and I had the opportunity to speak to one of my graduating groups on Thursday, community school group, and I want to talk to them about that. There are a lot of things in life that over which they have no control. There are some things over which they have some control, but the one thing they have total control is their choice of attitude.
It kind of echoing that, Bortz was talking this morning, and he must have had a caller late last week, one of these lottery winners, right, that had won, and then they... how do I say this one? They didn't lose the money. They blanked it all away.
Yes.
That, yeah, okay. Good luck. Aaron's so relaxed, he didn't even get close to the button to kill me. And he relayed the fact that in high school he was a C-minus student. And he flunked out of college at third semester. He was achieving his expectations as defined by others. And then he went to one of these self-help programs.
Mm-hmm.
And he went through, and he had unteach himself the script and filled in, yeah, why not me? And he used, it was more intrinsic than it was specific, and said, you look at all the lottery winners. And if they were successful before, they were successful after. If they were not successful before, they were not successful after winning. And those are the guys where the money just kind of dissipates, and you wonder, well, how can you got too many? How can you be back on Skid Row? Because your script isn't one of learning, isn't? And he said something I found. And it was my takeaway from it. If you're successful and you get laid off, you'll be successful because your expectations, your script, is to be successful.
Yes.
Wealthy. And if you're not, like some of these kids that play pro ball also, you come from not having, unless you do something to go in and wash your mind, so to speak, Sylvan, I think, no, it wasn't Sylvan, it was another program, you're going to go right back to what you did before, because that's what's comfortable, that's the people you've surrounded yourself with, unless you do something very overt to break out of that cycle.
Well, I think you're right, Brian, because you live equal to your expectations. Yes, things may come your way, it may be lucky, but are you going to take full advantage of that opportunity when it actually presents itself? And so if you're making bad decisions beforehand, chances are you're going to continue to make bad decisions. And, you know, esteem doesn't come because you're, you know, suddenly wealthy.
But the overtness that you have to do something to step out, you have to break your own script, whether it's successful or whether you're trying to be successful. Yeah.
Well, you know, we work in education a lot because we have to. We have so many children that come into our school systems today without the support structures that the rest of us were, you know, very blessed to live through early on in our lives. Now, I didn't come from a family that had a lot of money, but they had a good, strong emotional sense. They had a good foundation of what was right and wrong. They had a strong work ethic. And while my parents didn't have a lot of money, they had a lot of pleasure in life. They valued life and what it could offer. They valued service to others. They modeled that for me. They gave me groundedness, and they gave me a value system that I could build on. But so many of our youth today that come to us don't have that. And so educators, particularly we call the high-risk or at-risk programs, have to reach out and connect kids and help to reframe their thinking about themselves in order to turn what have been losers into winners. But they've got to think winning.
It is something that's a possible or a necessary for them.
Absolutely critical if they're going to be successful in life and break the cycles of poverty and circumstance that they're coming from.
KINS, News and Information Times, 319. We'll be back with more from Gary Eagles.
Hi, this is Eric from Northwood Chevrolet Hyundai. You know, I think a lot of people forget that we have a great selection of used cars available. We might not have the inventory that some of the larger dealerships do, but I know our quality used cars stack up against anybody else's in the county. Plus the fact, if we don't have something on our lot, come on in, see us, and we can probably find it for you. We have a quality selection of some very nice used cars, what most people were looking for. But again, if we don't have it on our lot, we can probably find it for you at Northwood Chevrolet Hyundai.
Hi, my name is Mark Diaz from Northwood Hyundai, and I invite you to come down. We're open from 8:30 in the morning till 6 o'clock at night for your shopping convenience. Closed Sundays to be with family. And as my dad used to say, don't bring much money. You won't need it. That's Northwood Hyundai, 7th and D, Eureka.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 324. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Gary Eagles. Gary, as you're talking about some of these opportunities to talk with kids or to be with kids, or I suppose, I don't know if you walk the halls that much, to mentor kids, to try to get that positive script, the yes you can, or the winning attitude, or whatever working phrase, to get them out of that downward spiral, right, or that comfortableness at being at the bottom of the pile and believing what others say about them. How do you do it?
What do I do?
I'll tell you
what I do in my role is that I seek out, when I have an opening for a faculty or a staff member, I seek out individuals who are optimistic, who have hope for the future, who believe that all kids can succeed and all kids can learn. And I probe that as part of the selection process because I'm not there on the ground every day in those classrooms and dealing with youth. But I try to make sure that the kids have those adult role models to be able to mentor. And then you mentioned specifically mentoring. A number of programs in our schools here connect kids in the community with hands-on, not only just project learning, but meaningful project learning while they come out of it and see that they're actually contributing to the welfare of the community in some fashion.
Well, I'm thinking, you know, you've got Rick Hanger, and mm-hmm. Rick reinvented himself.
You know, absolutely.
As an example, you know, and I don't think he would have any problems sharing his story to kids about, you know, here's what happens. Yourself?
Yes.
I mean, there are a number that you can, without being too braggadocious, that you can point to and go, here's what happened. Here are the choices. Here's the decision made. And not everybody does that in that situation. So if you guys have questions, fire away. Let's talk.
Right.
You know, and really get that personal thing going.
Well, you know.
Because you're going to carry more oomph, if you will, than a teacher. Because you got a bigger, fancier title.
By telling the story. Well, perhaps. Yeah. Perhaps. But what I don't have necessarily is that trusting relationship that happens with that teacher and that student working every day. But I do come in, and I have talked to students about what it's like to be disabled. You know, when I was under two, you know, the doctors were telling, you know, my parents and me, he'll never walk. Well, and apparently I was too young or too stupid to figure that out.
Or not paying attention.
I wasn't. Well, at 22 months old, probably not that. Stubborn two-year-old toddler, and I kept saying, I want to walk, and I eventually did. So, you know, I didn't believe it then. I still don't believe it. And I tell kids, don't let people tell you can't. It's a matter of perseverance. It's a matter of dedication. It's a matter of commitment and follow-through. I use the example of Edison, you know, where, you know, in the discovery of the incandescent light bulbs. And, you know, one of the storylines.
You're going to have to define that now pretty soon. You know, give it three or four more years.
That's true. Nobody's going to know what that is, right?
Yeah, change your example.
But, you know, the a newspaper writer asking the question, you know, how does it feel to, you know, have done this, what, over 100 times and just failure after failure after failure? And he says, you know, he says, I didn't fail. He says, I just found 100 plus ways of how not to do this.
Yeah, eliminating the options. Yeah,
that's right. And so, you know, it's these real life stories that you have to paint for kids to say, look, people can make it despite the obstacles that you have. And you're your own worst enemy when it comes to your own achievement.
Well, and even if you're successful and you came from success, well, how'd you propagate that? How'd you maintain it?
Right.
How did you avoid screwing it up?
Well, chances are you probably did along the way, because most successful
people
that I
know
have figured out that, you know, you take risks and sometimes they work and sometimes they don't, but you never give up trying. And that's what we want kids to do. You know, when I talk about kids going on and thinking about beyond high school and just, they don't have to necessarily get a college degree, but don't stop learning. Pursue their interests, pursue their hobbies, pursue a class here and there. You never know what door of opportunity will open.
How about pursue life?
Life,
I mean,
true.
You look at, you know, we see them all over. It just looks as if treading water, giving up.
Yes.
Occupying space.
Well, but you have to go around to why are they doing that?
Right? Oh, I understand.
Know,
yeah.
People have told them that they're failures, that life is no good, that everybody's out to get them, that the system, you know, bullies everybody. I mean, those are the scripts that so many of kids are dealing with these days, and families, and they need to get over it. Pull yourselves up by your bootstraps and march ahead.
So as you're hiring, as you're involved with the kids, whether it's at graduation time or through the entire process, is there space for the education community to have a class, a training, a seminar, a series, something like that, that isn't necessarily, let's do your psych and tell you what you're best suited for, but to free up some of those restrictions that might be in play?
Well, I'll tell you what we do is we do talk to kids about what are their natural instincts, tell them about themselves, what kinds of things are they interested in, and then where those interests might go. And what we've tried to do, for example, with our middle school program on college and careers, we talk to them about the tree of career opportunities that are available to them, all the little bitty branches and things that they can pursue with their interests.
KINS News and Information Times, 3:30.
Now a minute of sunshine for Humboldt. We think of the Coast Guard as being gallant lifesavers, and they are. However, there's another side of the Coast Guard, faceless bureaucrats far away. 3 years ago, one wrote to the Humboldt County Fair Association to say they wanted back the Mendocino Lighthouse lens that's been atop the county fair's main entrance for 63 years. The fair offered to build a new building for the lens. A citizen group, Save Our Lens, began to raise money. Then the Ferndale Museum offered to give the lens a new home. Most letters to the Coast Guard have gone unanswered. 2 weeks ago, though, in an undated letter, the Coast Guard warned Ferndale it would soon send a Lampus to begin removing the lens. They didn't say when he'd arrive or give his name, but we think it's Grinch. In Rome 2,000 years ago, the famous orator Cicero spoke of the arrogance of officialdom. If he were here today, he'd put those Coast Guard bureaucrats in that category. Sunshine for Humboldt is a nonprofit civic association dedicated to the people and places that make this a good place to live.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 3:36. We're back to talk shop this afternoon with Gary Eagles, the superintendent from Humboldt County Schools. He didn't run this time. Wouldn't run if asked, because it was in the middle of a term.
I was going to say, no election to run. But I did get to sit back and watch everybody else.
Yeah, I bet. Well, and last time you, I mean, you did, but you didn't. So...
Well, that's I what was fortunate. When did you run? I was fortunate not to have a
what was the
an
last
opponent
time you
the
really,
last 2 times.
Yeah. Okay. So you've been in the saddle ten years?
Years. Good buddy.
Wow.
You know, time flies when you're having fun, and actually, we are.
Or when you age.
You know,
I found that out too.
and maybe the age is helping me forget the downtime.
Yeah, it helps to add to the fun.
But, you know, I talk to people about the careers in education, and some people will say, oh, why would you go into education now? Nobody's hiring. Or why would you go to education management? Because these are terrible times. And yeah, if that's what you want to focus in on. But what I keep reminding people, and this is a perfect week, is that good things are happening for kids. And maybe not as many good things as what we'd like to be able to present for youth these days. And because we're still in the middle of belt tightening and we're losing some very important things, but we're still giving it our best shot. And that's what educators do.
And I would contend that, okay, California is upside down, sideways, sliding to the edge of the cliff.
Yes.
Doesn't mean that there aren't 49 other states that are looking for valuable people.
Well, actually, that's probably true.
So, you know, like we were talking about, you know, Humboldt County locked in, the family dramas and the triangles locked in. Who says you got to stay in California? I mean, there's a lot of other states that are doing well, relatively speaking, doing well, period. Thank you very much.
Yeah, you have to skip over Nevada, but yeah, there you will find some.
Yeah.
But no, seriously, the
education still is a strong vocation.
It is because of the rewards that are there. And I'm not talking, once again, the extrinsic rewards. I'm talking about the intrinsic rewards of really working with youth and being able to see a difference. And I think that that's what exactly draws people into the type of business that we're in.
I bet you 9 out of 10 people would be excited if they could choose their position in the educational model to be part of it. If you want to be a teacher, you'd be a teacher. Okay, if you want to be the grounds guy, okay, you'd be the grounds guy. If you want to be the administrator, okay, you'd be the administrator. If you, but to find a niche and plug in somewhere K-14,
mm-hmm.
K-16.
Well, it depends
or
if you want to include
17, 18, 19, 20,
years.
Yeah, I mean, depending on how slow you go. But I don't think that the field is one that gets bagged on. I think the bureaucracy does. I think
yes.
The processes do. I think some of the lame decisions made in the state structure that have direct impacts do. But I bet you, I think everybody likes having others get excited about things that they're excited about.
Yes. There's something about the whole aspect of teaching and learning and watching children grow and develop, and regardless of whatever subject you're going on, because... there's so much to experience about the world. And,
well, and to be fired up.
Yes.
Just and carry the passion and transfer the passion.
And that's what teaching is all about because, you know, we can talk about curriculum in textbooks. Well, hey, listen.
Not for this guy.
I know some math teachers who just absolutely
I know.
Subject. And I'll tell you what, it is their passion that they do tend to ignite young people with. And I think it's about, we talked about earlier about helping kids to believe in themselves and to be optimistic about the future. It's also about the whole concept of teaching the enjoyment of learning and learning just to learn and being open and receptive. You know, as the older I get, the more I look back on the opportunities that I've been given over time and the opportunities I've taken, and also the opportunities I've missed. I mean, we all go back there. But life is full of opportunities if we're ready and open and receptive and willing to take risks. And that was
still thinking Microsoft, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Been there, done that. But you know, there's another perfect example when you look at like the Steve Jobs of the world and folks who, you know, were told, gee, you need to go to college in order to be successful. And of course, college opens doors in many areas. But here's a fellow who went to college, found it wasn't exactly what he wanted. So Wozniak and Jobs got together in their garage and they did something. They created something new.
Positive.
They had a foundation to build on, and they went and chased their passion. We were talking over break about that. And that's the other thing in life. You know, I can't remember who said it, but, you know, if you love what you do, you never work a day in your life, you know, when you talk about that. And that's ideally what we want for people. So when we were talking before the last break about helping kids to look at the opportunities in life, there isn't just one career path. There are many paths.
You know,
and
it'd be
frankly,
a cool question.
No, what's that?
During have you spoke to the kids yet?
Thursday night.
Ask them if they had to leave the West Coast, couldn't stay here, where would they go?
Well, that'd be an interesting question.
Break things up a little bit for them. Wouldn't that be cool? If somebody said, okay, east of the Rockies, no jobs, where would you go? What would you do? Really a blank slate.
Mm-hmm.
Where would you go? I wonder how many of the kids would see it as an opportunity. Or at least play around with the thought a little bit.
Or would they be fearful and concerned about
or lock up?
Right.
Yeah.
Right. I would hope that they would embrace the notion of trying that out, because that's what life is going to present for them. Now, they're not all going to be ready at 18.
I wasn't. Were you?
Well, I don't know. I actually think at 17, I had planned on leaving, and I was halfway out the door or something.
I knew what I would. I think I knew what I was going to do.
Well, I didn't know what I was going to do. I just knew I wanted to go somewhere.
Go. Yeah. Go out the door, young man. Yeah, forget Greeley.
My parents encouraged me in that thought.
KINS, News and Information, time is 3:43. We'll be back with more from Gary Eagles.
The flame of learning is lit daily at St. Bernard's.
Hi, this is Craig Brown, Dean of Students and Campus Ministry at St. Bernard's Catholic School. We're praying in these days how we can create an even more definite presence of Christ in the world around us. We pray we all have an opportunity to stop the rush of this time of year to give profound thanks for the many blessings our Lord has showered on us.
St. Bernard's High School and Elementary School, making a difference in lives for today and tomorrow.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information, times 3:46, final couple minutes this afternoon with Gary Eagles. Gary, you got some of the numbers coming back from the state. Is it too early to know what next year's budget is? I know everybody's supposed to have it locked down by the end of this month. Ha ha, ha ha.
Well, actually, Brian, I think they'll have a budget adopted. Whether that budget will
legit
be any good, no.
Yeah, okay.
There's still too much to be left unknown. You know, the state controller today just announced that May's income to the state was slightly better than anticipated by about $83 million. But when you look at year-to-date, it's down $8.2 billion, which when added into the deficits we carried into this year, we're now looking at a state deficit of $17 billion. Now, I heard tell that the Democrats and the governor were a couple of billion dollars apart last week that they were trying to hammer out because the Democrats in the legislature didn't like some of the governor's proposals. Well, if they don't take it from where he proposed, where are they going to take it from? This is not a question of are any programs going to be save the axe? They've all been reduced significantly, and the question is how much further? Governor's proposed a tax increase for November to shore it up a little bit. A lot of people don't like taxes, and we'll have to see how that measure goes. But if that doesn't come through, that's another $7 or $8 billion further in the hole. So, you know, at some point, the patient bleeds to death. And I wish I could say that the light is at the end of the tunnel, but I'm still waiting to see all that where the axe will fall. But I'm going to end this on a positive note by this. We'll make the best of whatever we have. And I hope that our community is understanding that the public schools are not the way they were in the past, and they won't be for quite some time in the future if they ever do return to that status. There are so many demands on the public dollar.
More of the European
days.
Model? Were the extracurricular teams or city teams rather than school teams? The music is something that's done through a local organization. Eureka Symphony would take on, instead of Eureka High School having a band, as an example. That kind of thing? Do you see it morphing in that direction?
Well, I've already seen the community help come to the fore with assistance with sports programs as well as the music and art programs, Humboldt Arts Council and the like. But, you know, a lot of our community groups are equally stressed and strained, and, of course, they're run by volunteers, and it's difficult these days because people are trying to make ends meet. We're going through a rough patch as a society, and we need to pull together. It will improve. There's one thing about educators. We are optimistic, and I am going to be the best cheerleader I possibly can, regardless of what that budget looks like in a couple of weeks.
You just stay out of the suit, okay?
I stay out of the suit.
No uniforms, no suits.
Well,
yeah.
Particularly for the summer, no.
Yeah.
I may be working every day, but the tie comes off.
There you go, man. Thanks for coming by, Gary.
Good to see you.
We've been talking shop this afternoon with Gary Eagles. Join us tomorrow afternoon for more Talk Shop. Till then, go out and make it a good day. Hug someone you love. See you tomorrow.